Testament reading this morning is from Psalms 30, 1 through 5, 11 through 12. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for a night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Reading from Luke 1 through 39 through 44. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judea, to a Judea town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud joy, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy."
That last face of the video was not super joyful. I think it's a video editing issue on their end. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, I give you thanks for the Holy Spirit that is present in this place. God, you tell us wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is in the midst of them. And so Jesus is in our midst even today. And I thank you, God, for the gift of music, the gift of worship, and the gift of this season of Advent, of expectation, of waiting, of preparation, waiting for something that you alone can do, God. And I lift up to you today those that are bringing an extra step of joy into this place, people who are celebrating the birth of children and grandchildren, people who are celebrating families gathering, new jobs and new employment situations. And God, I also lift up to you people who are in need of your special healing touch in this season of miracles. God, I lift up to you people who are on a journey of grief, people who have experienced loss. Sustain in them the assurance of your presence and your peace, to know that the people we love are never really lost. I'm there with you. God, I ask your healing touch on people who are facing treatments and hospitalizations, God, people who are on a journey of recovery and healing. Be with them as a provider and a peaceful, hopeful presence. And God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we think of joy, I think the church gets the short end of the stick. Because when we think of joy, we seldom think first about religion or about church. I mean, honestly. Religion, we think, is quiet and boring and stiff and legalistic. And in fact, many of us think the things that really bring us joy are basically frowned upon by religion. So the two kind of seem to conflict. There's a reason they call what happens between 4 and 6 in the afternoon at the bar happy hour. And they call what happens in worship on Sunday morning the service of worship. Happy hour is about play. Church seems to be very serious about a lot of work. If you want to be a buzzkill at a party, just tell them you're a pastor. They will forget the punchline of the joke that they are in the middle of telling you. So the church has to combat that negative stereotype. And then this time of year, we also have to combat the forced joy that is all around us in this season, right? We need to have joy. We need to have it on Christmas. It better show up on time. I have to do the Christmas cards. I have to do the baking. In my case, because I'm a pastor, Eric does most of the work in our house. Society tells us that we are supposed to find joy by spending or consuming. And sometimes that consumption is even literal. I never have props. Today I have a prop. So, Lydia and I were doing some grocery shopping on Friday night, and we came across this brand of Oreos. It says on the front, Oreo Joy! Exclamation point. So this is apparently how you're supposed to have joy. It says, just so you're not disappointed, because that could kill your joy, it says, red colored cream, same taste. So you're not, you know what to expect. But there are 5 cool winter designs. This is apparently how you're supposed to have joy. Really? Is this the joy that comes in the morning? I think not. Is this why baby John leapt for joy in the womb? I think not. Christian joy is something else. And kids, you can eat these after the 11 o'clock service. Thank you, Marty.
Nuh-uh.
That is, Marty, if the sermon gets boring, go ahead. Christianity, though, is at base all about joy. You hear a lot about the gospel. Do you know what that means? Good news. Gospel. Good news. Joy. The joy of having a relationship with God. The joy of freedom in Christ. The joy of forgiveness. The joy of life and new life. This is not joy that you can buy or even manufacture yourself. It comes from what God has done, what God is doing. And this season is all about reminding us of that. Why? Because angels appeared to shepherds, bringing them joy. It's like when women like Mary and Elizabeth gather, knowing that the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, will be born in Bethlehem, that God's plan is on the move. Joy. So, right off the top, a rhetorical question. Are joy and happiness the same thing? They're talked about together a lot. But we kind of know that happiness is different than joy. Happiness is fleeting. We're happy when things are going well. We're unhappy when they're not going well. Happiness depends on our circumstances. When you're eating an Oreo, maybe happiness. When I get on the scale after I ate a whole sleeve of them, maybe not happiness. None of it's joy. If you ever are admitted to the hospital, sometimes they might measure your happiness on a scale. It's actually to measure your pain level, but it looks like a happiness scale because it ranges from like super smiley face, no pain, to really upset, sad face, a lot of pain. That's happiness. Joy is something different. If you open up your Bible, you will meet lots of people who on the happiness scale are not having a very good day. But on the joy scale, they have a lot of joy. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul as a prime example of this. He had a lot of bad days. He also had a lot of joy. In fact, he wrote a letter to the church at Philippi, which we have as the book of Philippians, and he wrote it from jail. And this is what he wrote. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Why? because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is in chains, but he has joy because he knows that God is not in chains. The good news of the gospel is not in chains. That's joy. So, though joy is different from happiness, we experience joy in our life when we're doing things that sometimes can feel ordinary. Someone defined joy as the unbounded leaping of the heart that comes on us often by surprise. The unbounded leaping of the heart that comes on us often by surprise. The joy of realizing that you are alive. The joy of paying attention to your breath. The joy of human love. The joy of God's beautiful creation. The joy that the psalmist talks about, which is the joy of being well after you have been sick. You know that moment when you're like, I feel better. That joy. The joy of being forgiven. The joy of the prodigal son. We know what that joy feels like. It happens to us. We're walking along in a ho-hum world on a ho-hum Monday morning, and then there is a sudden surprise of joy. Seeing somebody you love when you weren't expecting it. Joy. Connecting with somebody that maybe you just met and you think, in this whole world of strange people, that person could actually be my friend. A glimpse of something bigger than mere happiness. And I would describe these moments as being, have these sorts of characteristics. Moments of love, moments of mercy, moments of grace, moments of beauty, and moments of gratitude. And why is that joy and not happiness? I think because all those things, love, mercy, gratitude, grace, beauty, they reflect God's nature. They reflect God's nature. So when we experience those things, we get a glimpse of something more than just, this is a great Oreo. We get an example, we get a glimpse of God. Even if we don't believe in God. Ha! Huh. Prevenient grace. God gives us joy. And if the gasp of joy, where we go, if that is the surprise of joy, if that's the inhale, then the exhale of joy is gratitude. That's how you know it's joy. If the inhale is, wow, joy, the breathing out is, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Elizabeth and Mary, their encounter, I think, follows this pattern. Mary, you'll remember from last week, has gone from the bottom of the socioeconomic heap to an angel saying, she is highly favored and the Lord is with her. She's coming to Elizabeth, bearing the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. Wow! Thank you, God. No wonder John, the baby John, leapt for joy in Mary's womb. And the unbounded leaping of the heart that we have to offer the world is knowing that God in Christ has broken into our world, sending Jesus to be God with us, Emmanuel. It's what this season is all about. The good news that has been brought to us. That's the joy of Christmas. It's also the joy of the other two big festival services of the year, Easter and Pentecost. All three, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, about joy, festival services. And they're all joyful, not because we did anything, but because of what God has done. God exists and so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Christmas. God has conquered even the forces of sin and the grave for us. Easter. Joy. And God is still at work in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit so that lives can be transformed today. And we get to be a part of that. Pentecost, joy. Wide-eyed women running from the tomb. Shepherds hearing angels sing. When things like that happen, we find something welling up in us that does not come from us. A deep joy. Joy that God exists and looks down on us with love. Joy that God has a plan for my life and for yours. Joy, in the words of Dr. King, that the arc of human history is long, but it bends toward justice. Slowly, sometimes. Sometimes so slowly you cannot see it. But it's bending. Joy. And we get to be a part of that. We feel God's joy whenever we use our gifts in God's service. Whenever we do any work in the Lord's vineyard, I feel it as we hang up our Walk to Bethlehem costumes for another year. I feel a sense of joy. As the dancing needles make prayer shawls, I feel joy. As the finance team works on the budget, some of them are whistling. They love that stuff. There's joy. Fred Buechner describes Christian joy in a great way. He says, this is Christian joy, laughter, and freedom, and the reaching out of arms. Laughter and freedom and the reaching out of arms. Even in the midst of hard times, even through painful days, even in times of real suffering, we reach out our arms to one another. There's a knowledge that even on bad days, something deeper is going on. God is working God's purposes out. God's story is working. And we can still have joy. Sometimes it looks like laughter. Very often it looks like freedom. And very often like the reaching out of arms. I visited someone who goes to this church who was undergoing chemotherapy treatments. And she said to me, you would not believe what my Glenmar friend did for me. I called her up and I asked her, would she come over and shave my head? It's a holy thing to do. It's a sacred task. It's a loving thing. And this friend was the first person I thought of to do it. So I called her up. She came over. I said, oh, that sounds exactly like her, you know. She said, oh, no, she didn't just do that. She came over about 5 minutes before 50 people left her house for Thanksgiving. She came over to me. And I said, oh, that's so loving and so like her. And she goes, no, it's not even. See that Christmas tree on the table, the little one? She brought that with her. When she came with her shaver, she decorated the tree herself, and I can see it from my sofa, and it reminds me of God's joy, that there is something at work in the world that is about joy. Weeping may endure for a night, church, but joy comes in the morning. A pastor that I know was visiting a 90-year-old woman in an assisted living facility. And the woman had her health and her faculties and a good circle of friends. So the pastor thought, this is going to be an easy visit. She's doing good. And the woman was very worried and depressed. And the pastor was like, oh my gosh, you should be full of joy. What's going on? And she said, it's my dysfunctional family. I can't sleep. I cannot sleep at night worrying about my family. So the pastor said, okay, what are you looking at? She said, my daughter-in-law is a huge disappointment. That marriage is not going to last. They never should have gotten married. The pastor said, how old is your daughter-in-law? 75. How long have they been married? 50 years. My son, huge disappointment. Worry about him every minute of the day. She shared with the pastor that she felt pressure to make everything right, not just for herself, not just putting up Christmas decorations, but for her whole family. She had to make her family into the Brady Bunch, and she felt, she said, Pastor, I'm under time pressure. I got to get this right in the next year or two so I can go to heaven in peace. The pastor said, you can go to heaven in peace. God is in charge of this mess down here. The pastor said, if you open up the Bible at nearly any point, you will find things are a big mess. The people are messed up. The disciples are confused. The prophets are being ignored. The world looks like it's crawling toward disaster much of the time. CNN, don't even get me started. The comfortable in Scripture are always about to be afflicted, and the afflicted are being assured of comfort, but it seems slow in coming sometimes. Look at the people. Look at the families that God uses. Jacob was way more messed up than your son, and King David could have been on Dr. Phil. And yet, looking through it, you can see God at work, working his slow purposes out, using these unlikely people. You can't judge the end of the story by the middle of the book. God doesn't expect you to work out all your stuff and everybody else's stuff. God is working. Grace is abounding. You can have some joy. Joy is often seen in our lives in the big picture. When we recognize God working in the overarching twisting of our lives. What do I mean? I'll wager whatever you were really worried about 5 years ago is not that big a deal to you today. Maybe even a year ago, it's not the same. I'll wager that what you are most grateful for is tied to something that God has provided as a gift. The deepest joys are the things that we see are blessings, gifts given to us, not the things that we earn, but things given to us as a gift. Joy is often seen in the small details too. God is often experienced in the small things around the margins. A mustard seed of faith. A widow's 2 copper coins. A hand held during a song in church. A prayer. An encouraging text at just the right time. Joy. Now, any sermon about joy, as a pastor, I feel the need to address a misconception that some Christians have. Nobody here, I'm sure. But there's a medical condition, and it's called clinical depression. And some Christian folks think that people with clinical depression should just be more joyful, should just like whip up some more joy. And so I wanted to share with you that depression is a disease. It's not a failure of faith. You can't will yourself out of it. And a depressed person needs treatment just like any other person with an illness. Some old stats from 2012 show that 1 in 10 Americans suffers from clinical depression. So how can we be faithful friends to people who are clinically depressed? Well, you can say things like, you're not alone. I'm here for you. I may not be able to understand exactly how you feel, but I care about you, and I want to help. You are important to me, and your life is important to me. That's what sharing joy with someone who's going through a hard time or someone with clinical depression can look like. giving the love that they can't access right now themselves, sharing the joy that they can't connect with right this second. So I'll close with this. It's important to be clear about where Christian joy comes from. If our joy comes from the things we eat, it lasts as long as the food does. And when you get to be a certain age that turns out to be my age, when you eat for joy reasons, you will pay a price for that. I'm waiting for the day that I actually admit to myself that I cannot just eat pizza like a crazy person. If the center of our joy is in our stuff, in our material possessions, then our joy lasts as long as they do. And you know they can be taken away by tide and time and the tax man. And we won't be taking any of it with us anyway. If the center of our joy is in the things we can do, the things we can achieve, then our joy lasts only as long as our faculties and our muscles and our youth and our vitality hold out. Eventually, many runners' knees give out. Bill Arbeloz, yours are going to last forever. Eventually, the starting pitcher loses that crucial 5 miles an hour on their fastball. If that alone is the center of our joy, then our joy is seasonal. But if Jesus is the center of our joy, we can be in jail with Paul and still have joy. If Jesus is the center of our joy, we can have chemotherapy this week and still have joy. We can be full or empty, and we can have joy. We can have all things or we can have nothing, and we can still have joy. We can be exalted or brought low and still have joy. We can be employed or unemployed. We can be single, widowed, or divorced, and we can still have joy. We can have joy in the midst of weeping in the night because we know that in Christ, the sun eventually is going to rise. So this Advent, my prayer for us is that we could guard the joy that God gives and share it with our neighbors. We could nurture it and help it grow like Mary's baby in the womb. May we say in the words of that spiritual, I still have joy. After all the things I've been through, I still have joy because Jesus is the center of our joy. It's coming, church. Good tidings of great joy for all the people. It's all we want for Christmas. It's exactly what God is giving and has given us, an altogether joy. Amen.